at the last meeting of Peterborough City Council before their summer recess on Monday, June 29th, some residents expressed concerns over a cell phone tower which is planned to be built in the North End neighborhood around Marina Boulevard. Northcrest Ward resident Andrea Lack delegated to council about the tower concurrence outlined in a report from City Commissioner of Infrastructure, Planning, and Growth Management Blair Nelson. The report's purpose was largely to inform the city that the applicant, management company SpectraPoint Inc., had finished mandatory public consultation on the project on behalf of its proponent, Rogers, who will be the provider using the completed tower. Lack, however, expressed deep reservations with the tower beyond the contents of the report, and implored council to do everything in their power to stop its construction. Here's some of her delegation.
My name is Andrea Lack, and I'm a resident of Marina Boulevard. I'm here today in strong opposition to the proposed radio communication tower on 95 Marina Boulevard. We are humbly requesting that you reconsider installing this wireless communication tower near our home. Our main concern after researching wireless towers being placed near residential areas is the serious and harmful effects that they have on one's health. We have read your notice explaining that this tower is to be installed with the least amount of impact on one's health. However, we have a young child and hope to expand our family, and we truly do not feel safe raising our children beside a tower that emits radiation, regardless of how much radiation is emitted. To us, it feels as though our health is being used as an experiment. Yet, families are being expected to accept this risk. Would you choose to live beside a wireless communication tower 24 hours a day with your own family? I don't believe anyone would willingly choose to be microwaved around the clock, especially when children are involved.
In discussing the safety of things like cell phone towers, it's worthwhile to draw a distinction between ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. As part of their regular operation, cell phones and other electronic devices emit electromagnetic waves, a kind of non-ionizing radiation. When you hear the word radioactive, the kind of radiation you are probably thinking of is ionizing. It is dangerous because it carries enough energy to dislodge electrons from atoms or molecules, which ionizes them. Because of this, ionizing radiation can cause radiation burns, genetic mutation, and many kinds of cancer. X-rays, or elements used in nuclear energy production, such as uranium or thorium, are all examples of things which emit ionizing radiation. Non-ionizing radiation, by contrast, refers specifically to types of electromagnetic waves that do not have enough energy to dislodge electrons from atoms or molecules. Some kinds of non-ionizing radiation, such as microwaves, do have the potential to heat and even burn matter or tissue, though most forms of non-ionizing radiation have no demonstrable negative effects as a consequence of ambient exposure. Non-ionizing radiation comprises a large part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Examples of non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation include cell phone networks, radio and TV signals, Wi-Fi, microwaves, remote controls, and sunlight. While all are forms of electromagnetic radiation, it is important to note that cell phone networks differ significantly from, for instance, microwaves. In her delegation to council, Lack claimed there is insufficient evidence for the safety of radio frequency electromagnetic fields, such as those used by cell phones, and cited Professor Emeritus at Trent University, Magda Havis.
There have been many studies highlighting the negative health effects associated with living near a cell phone tower. There have been also articles reported by CBC, quoting Magda Havis, professor at Trent University in Peterborough, Ontario, who spent decades studying these electromagnetic frequencies. And she says that Health Canada's guidelines is so outdated, it's a decade outdated, and also noted that elementary kids are much more sensitive to any kind of pollutant in the environment, much more than adults.
The guideline Havis cites is Health Canada's Safety Code 6, which defines safe limits for human exposure to ambient radio frequency electromagnetic fields, or EMF. Safety Code 6 has been subject to a number of revisions since the first comprehensive guidelines on limits of human exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields in the frequency range from 3 kHz to 300 GHz were published in 1999. For example, the code was revised and updated in 2009, a year before the publication of the 2010 CBC article, from which Lack quoted Havas as saying that the guidelines were quote-unquote outdated. Safety Code 6 has since been subject to another major revision in 2015, and a number of technical updates since, which are intended to keep new equipment compliant with the 2015 guidelines. Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada, or ICED, is the regulatory body which oversees the construction and management of all radio frequency infrastructure, such as cell phone towers, in Canada. It requires developers and telecommunications companies, such as cell phone providers, television broadcasters, and radio stations, to comply with the emissions limit defined by Health Canada in Safety Code 6. In response to a request for comment, a spokesperson from ICED told me, quote, "The limits within Safety Code 6 were developed using a science-based approach and are consistent with other parts of the world, including the United States, European Union, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. These limits, which already cover the frequency ranges used by 5G devices and antenna installations, for all known established adverse health effects, and provide protection for all age groups on a continuous 24 hours a day, 7 days a week basis." End quote. While double-blind studies have repeatedly failed to demonstrate a correlation between exposure to radio frequency EMF and health effects such as cancer, migraines, or immunosuppression, dissenters such as Havas remain vocal and unconvinced. Researchers such as Havas and Dr. Lennart Hartl in Sweden have devoted significant time and effort into proving a link between low-level electromagnetic radiation like that found in cell phones and negative health impacts. However, many in the scientific community criticize their research methodologies for being flawed, insular, or self-affirming, and have failed to replicate the purported evidence of the harmful effects of cell phone emissions in subsequent peer-reviewed studies. Granted, potential health concerns are not the only thing cited by Lack and her neighbors in their opposition to the proposed wireless site. Among the complaints was concern that the construction of a wireless communications tower might result in a decrease in Marina Boulevard residents' property values. For its part, ICED does not recognize these concerns as quote-unquote relevant to the public consultation process. The organization specifically disregards, quote, "potential effects that a proposed antenna system will have on property values or municipal taxes," unquote. Much of the frustration from Lack and members of her neighborhood, 50 of whom signed a petition against the tower, seems to stem from the perception of their concerns being disregarded. Here's how Lack's neighbor, Martha Abrahamsey, explained her feelings to council.
So as we were going door to door speaking to people about this issue and asking for signatures, one very disturbing comment that was said over and over to us again and again was, "They're just going to do what they want. They put corporate interests to get ahead of their citizens. They already know what they want to do. Why bother even fighting against it?" I find that very discouraging.
ICED requires a 30-day period for collecting written comments as part of its public consultation process, but no public planning meetings besides. The reason the report on the tower had even been presented to council in the first place was because the city of Peterborough requires anyone developing within the city to adhere to their public consultation processes. In the case of the proposed tower development, that meant applicant SpectraPoint hosting a public Zoom meeting to receive feedback. A list of attendees and feedback from that meeting, as well as written correspondence obtained during the consulting period, is available as an appendix to the report on the city's webpage for the June 29th meeting. Despite the project being required to comply with Peterborough's planning processes, final approval on the site plan rests principally with the federal government through ICED, which Councillor Gary Baldwin pointed out to the delegates at the July 2nd meeting.
"Have you made a presentation to MP Harrison? Because my understanding is that the telecommunication networks rest with the federal government. Have you had a chance to speak with MP Harrison?"
"Initially..."
"Ms. Lack, please. Or, yeah, go ahead. Either one."
"Initially, when this notification came to us, I was making some phone calls to see who we would talk to about, fighting against this. So I got so many different answers. I did call the MP's office, and this is before Emma was... I can't remember who it was, but
Michelle, I think was the MP then, maybe.
Who was it?
Michelle Ferrari, maybe?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. And then she directed me and said, no, this is a city council issue. And we have nothing to do with it. And then we were directed to call Spectra.
Mm-hmm.
So we sort of got the runaround a little bit. We made several different phone calls. And we were told it wasn't a federal issue.
Even if council were to vote down the contents of the report, recognizing the completion of the public consultation process, both ICED and the site applicant have dispute processes at their disposal, which would permit them to go ahead with building the proposed tower. I reached out to Peterborough MP, Emma Harrison, to see whether she had heard her constituents' concerns and find out how she planned to address them. Unfortunately, her office did not reply in time to be included in this story. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Evan Robbins, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio. See FFF in Peterborough.